Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's May the 12th, and we are in Yirmiyahu, Perek Chazayin, Chapter 27. Tonight, in addition to our regular sponsor for all of the for this entire year for Yirmiyahu, which is the Lewis's, tonight we also have for tonight's shir, Mrs. Schwartz is sponsoring in as an Ilan Neshama for her father, Harav Shlomo Ben Yisrael, whose yard site is tonight. So his Neshama should have an Aliyah.
Amen.
We ended off last time that the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin of Chapter 27, it starts with Bereshis, with the word Bereshis, and we said that Bereshis only appears a few times in all of Tanakh and all of Scripture. I think I said that it only appears three times. It actually appears five times, but it's only in three contexts. The first time it appears, of course, is Bereshis Bara Elokim, right in the beginning of the Chumash. In the beginning, it's the first word of the Torah, Bereshis. It appears here about the beginning, Bereshis Mamleches Yehoyakim ben Yoshio Melech Yehuda, in the beginning of the kingdom of Yehoyakim ben Yoshio Melech Yehuda. It appears one more time about the beginning of the kingdom of Yehoyakim. So it says the word Bereshis twice regarding the kingdom of Yehoyakim. If you hold the place here in the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin of Chapter 27, and you turn ahead, you go back to the beginning of Perek Chav Vav of Chapter 26, where it says, Bereshis Mamlechus Yehoyakim Ben Yoshio. So we have over there as well the beginning of Yehoyakim's reign, and there also it says, Bereshis. Did I make a mistake over here about the, give me 1 minute, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. I made a mistake in every way whatsoever. We're starting Perek Chav Vav, Chapter 26. Right. I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. I said it wrong in the email also, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I apologize. Right. Okay. My apologies. Right.
Same possible.
Yeah, it's almost the same passage. That's why I got confused. Right. We're starting the beginning of Perek Chav Vav, Chapter 26. I apologize. Right. So this one starts off Bereshis Mamlechus Yehoyakim, in the beginning of the kingdom of Yehoyakim. And as I just read, Perek Chav Zayin, Chapter 27, also begins Bereshis Mamlechus Yehoyakim, in the beginning of the kingdom of Yehoyakim. So you find the word Bereshis associated with the beginning of Yehoyakim's reign twice. Two times it says Bereshis. Then we find Bereshis also in the beginning of Perek Chav Ches, Chapter 28. Now there, it's in regard to the beginning of Mamleches Tzidkiyahu. It says, Vahi Bashana Ahi, wasn't that year? Bereshis Mamleches Tzidkiyah, in the beginning of the kingdom of Tzidkiyah Melech Yehuda. So there you find Bereshis in regard to the start of Tzidkiyah's reign, or Tzidkiyahu, and it says it one more time later in Yirmiyahu, also regarding the beginning of Yirmiyahu's of Tzidkiyahu's reign. So we find the word Bereshis five times in all of Tanakh. All of Scripture says it five times. That's it. Once is the very beginning of the Chumash, and then the other four, two are for the beginning of the reign of Yehoyakim, and two are for the beginning of the reign of Tzidkiyahu. So the term Bereshis, which you would think is a special term to use if it starts off the entire Torah, is only used, again, with the kingdom of Yehoyakim and the kingdom of Tzidkiyahu. Now, Bereshis, of course, means in the beginning, which suggests that we're dealing with a beginning, some sort of a major start to something, which is ironic since Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu represent the last two significant kings over Eretz Yisrael. That's it. After Tzidkiyahu, it's over. There is no kingdom until Mashiach comes. Between Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu, there is one more king, that's Yechaniah, that's Yehoyakim's son, but he only rules for 3 months. Yehoyakim rules for 11 years, and Tzidkiyahu rules for 11 years. So these are the last two major kings of Yehuda, and after Tzidkiyahu is dethroned, and the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we no longer have a king, and we will not have a king until Mashiach comes. So it's ironic to use the term Bereishis in the beginning, when in fact this is really an end. So why would the Torah use, why would the Navi use the term Bereishis for the beginning of the reign of Yehoyakim, and also for the beginning of the reign of Tzidkiyahu? The Gemara tells us that the reason is because the Navi, Yirmiyahu, wants to draw our attention to the original Bereishis when thinking about these two kings. And Chazal tells us as follows, that in the reign of Yehoyakim, Hashem looked at Yehoyakim and saw that he was such a Rasha, he was such an evil king, that Hashem wanted to return the world to tohu vavohu. He wanted to return the world to nothingness, to the way it was before creation, to tohu vavohu. He wanted to make it as if it was nothing because of how bad Yehoyakim was. But then he looked at the generation of Yehoyakim. The people in the generation of Yehoyakim were tzaddikim. They were righteous. The people were righteous, even though the king was very evil. And Hashem did not destroy the world. So Yehoyakim, his behavior would have warranted a destruction of the entire world. But Hashem didn't do it because of the people in his generation. They were tzaddikim. So that's why it says, Bereishis. We almost had to go back to the beginning where there would be absolutely nothing. But then because of the people, Hashem did not destroy the world. Then the Gemara says, what about the term Bereishis in the beginning of Tzidkiyahu's reign? There the Gemara says the opposite. Hashem looked at the people in the reign of Tzidkiyahu, the way their behavior was, and he wanted to return the world to tohu vavohu, to nothingness, to destruction. He wanted to destroy the entire world because of the people's behavior. But then he looked at the king, Tzidkiyahu, who was a tzaddik. He was righteous, and Hashem did not destroy the world. So the world deserved destruction because of the behavior of the evil king Yehoyakim, but the people's behavior spared the world, and the world deserved destruction because of the behavior of the evil subjects of Tzidkiyahu, but the righteousness of Tzidkiyahu spared the world. And that's why he says the term Bereishis. Now this is, of course, startling that this should be so. It's startling for a number of reasons. First of all, in the case of Yehoyakim, yes, he's the king, and yes, he's a very influential person, but he's still only the king. He's not, why would Hashem destroy the world for the behavior of one person? And the other thing that's striking about this is, how do we have such a change, v'nahafochu, it flips over, and the two kings are one on the heels of the other. There's 3 months between the end of one king and the beginning of the next. And yet, it seems like everything turned on its head, topsy-turvy. You go from an evil king and righteous people to a righteous king and evil people. I can understand going from an evil king to a righteous king. That happens. But how do you go from righteous people that spared the world to evil people that would have destroyed the world? So the answer to that is because we lost our leadership in the interim. As we will discuss in greater depth when we get there, but when Yehoyakim's son Yechaniah was taken into Galus, with him went Hacheresh v'Hamasker. With him went all of the leadership of the Jewish people, all the Talmidei Chachamim, all the Nevi'im, everybody who was anybody, like Mordechai, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Yechezkel, all of the great ones were taken into Gullus at that time. Yirmiyahu was virtually the only Navi, the only real big Talmud Chacham, and he, of course, was a huge Talmud Chacham, but he was one of the very few remaining in Eretz Yisrael. So the people went from being well-led, even though they had a terrible king, Yehoyakim, but they were well-led by the Talmidei Chachamim and the Nevi'im, they went from that to being basically rudderless. Yes, a righteous king, but the daily happenings on the street, there was no one to lead them, and they went down really fast. So we'll discuss that, Mirz Hashem, when we get there. Why did Hashem do that? Why would he do that, essentially leaving the people without leadership? That's a big question. How do we understand that? The Gemara discusses that as well. Mirz Hashem, we will discuss that hopefully in greater depth. But it does happen. So that is why you have such a big change from the two kings. What is important for our purposes here with the term Bereishis is, again, as mentioned, still, why would you use a term of in the beginning? Yes, I understand the Torah the Navi wants to draw our attention back to creation when there was tohu vavohu, when there was nothingness. I get that. And to tell us that in a certain way, the generation deserved that it be destroyed. But why with the word Bereishis? That still seems to be a term that is, it sounds like we're starting something new, not that we are about, we're deserving of destroying the old. So it seems to me that the term Bereishis is deliberately used because we are beginning new. That with the reign of Yehoyakim, after the death of Yoshiyahu, the great king, where he was our hope, that with him we could have survived and we could have weathered what was going on and perhaps not had a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But now that the die is cast, there's not much that can be done anymore. The destruction is almost inevitable at this point. Then it is a beginning. It's not a beginning of something great. It's the beginning of a different existence for us Jews. We are now headed into a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, a galus, an exile, and even though we're going to have a construction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which will be wonderful, but it will pale in comparison to the first Beis HaMikdash. We will be missing many of the important qualities of the first Beis HaMikdash. Will be lacking in the second Beis HaMikdash. And we will not have a king, and we will still be in a position where we're being ruled by foreign countries. And the second Beis HaMikdash, although it was of course wonderful, but it really did not fully pull us out of the downfall that we had with the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And we continue with that downfall today. And until Mashiach comes, we are in that downfall. And so there is a Bereishis, not a Bereishis in the sense of a very exciting thing. We're starting something new, but in the sense that it's really a very different existence. The existence of the Jewish people in Galus, or almost in Galus, is very different from a Jewish people that relates to Hashem through Geula, through redemption. And we are still in that Bereishis. We're in that new for that time. Now it's not new. Unfortunately, it's been a very, very long time. But we are in that reality. When Mashiach comes, and it should be speedily and in our days, and we should be a part of that, the change in the way that we will perceive the world, perceive life, perceive, of course, Hashem, perceive the Torah, perceive each other, perceive Eretz Yisrael, the way that our entire perception will change dramatically, and it will be another Bereishis at that time. For us, it will be like the world is recreated. Even according to the Rambam, who says that there will not be major open miracles with the coming of Mashiach, and that Olam Kiminhago, knowing the world will still move in its regular way, that does not mean that our perception of how things work and our relationship with Hashem will not be dramatically different. It will. There will be very, very dramatic changes, just not miraculous ones, not supernatural ones, but the change will nevertheless be very, very dramatic. We will not recognize the world. We will look back and we will say, as the Navi says, as David HaMelech said, and we say it on Shabbos when we sing Shir HaMalos, Hayinu Kecholmim. It's like we were dreaming. We're going to look back and say, what was that all about? It's going to be foreign to us because it's going to be a Bereshis. That's the experience the Jewish people had here with the kingdom of Yehoyakim and then Tzidkiyahu. They also had a Bereshis, not in a positive way. They looked back and they said, we're totally different now. Things are completely different. And that is, I believe, why the term Bereshis is used to draw our attention back to the beginning of the world. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Bereshis Mamluchus Yehoyakim ben Yoshio Melech Yehuda, in the beginning of the kingdom of Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshio, the king of Yehuda. Hayah hadavar hazem eis Hashem lemar. This thing came from Hashem, of course, to Yirmiyahu, saying. Now we're going to read quickly. This is going to be a story, and it's going to be a story that is going to be a little shocking, and there's a lot of drama. Komar Hashem, so says Hashem. Amod b'chatzar beis Hashem. Go stand in the courtyard of the house of Hashem, of the Beis Hamikdash. V'dibarta al kol arei Yehuda, and speak about all the cities of Yehuda. Habayim liishtachavos beis Hashem, that are coming to bow to in the house of Hashem, meaning the people of those cities who are coming to bow. Eis kol advar mashet v'isicha ledaber aleim. You should speak all the things that I commanded you to speak to them. Al tigra davar. Do not hold back at all. Don't hold back anything. Be blunt. Be direct. Tell them what I tell you to say. Ula yishmu. Perhaps they'll listen. V'yashuvu ish midarko hara. And each man will come back from their evil ways. V'nichamti el hara'a ashonochi choshiv lasos lohem. And perhaps I will have an achama. I will have a change of heart about the evil that I am planning on doing to them. I'm already planning it. The evil is in place right now. Right now, the default is there will be evil. It's already moving at a very, very actually rapid pace. But perhaps they will turn around and I will stop that evil that I plan to do to them, b'pnei ro'am alaleihem, because of their evil ways. V'amar talem, you should say to them, ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem. Imosishmu elai, if you do not listen to me, l'leches besorasi, to go in my Torah's ways, asher nasati lifneichem, that I put before you. Lishmoa al divrei avadai anavim, to listen to the words of my servants, the Nevi'im, the prophets. Asher nochi sholeach aleichem, that I send to you, v'hashgeim v'shaloach, I sent to you early, keep on sending to you over and over again. V'lo shematem, you did not listen. If you do not begin to listen, I will make this house, the Beis HaMikdash, like Shiloh. Shiloh was where the Mizbeach was located after we came into Eretz Yisrael. It was located in Shiloh for more than 350 years, and eventually it was destroyed. And let me say more than 300 years. I think it was more than 350 years, but it was a long time in Shiloh, and it was destroyed. So that it was destroyed in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, with the story of Eli and the sons of Eli, Chafi and Pinchas. That story over there, that's when it was destroyed. So I will make this house, the Beis HaMikdash, like Shiloh, destroyed. This Ha'ir Hazos, attain li klala, in this city I will make a curse, l'chol goyei ha'aretz, for all the nations of the world. So that's a pretty scathing thing to say. He's saying it in the Beis HaMikdash itself, or in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, that there is going to be a destruction. Vayishmu ha'kohanim v'neviim v'chol ha'am. The kohanim and the prophets and all the nation heard this. Es Yirmiyahu medaber es hadvarim ha'ela b'beis Hashem. They heard Yirmiyahu speaking these things in the house of Hashem. Vayhi kechalos Yirmiyahu l'daber. And it was when Yirmiyahu finished speaking all that Hashem had commanded him to say to all the nation. And the Kohanim and the Nevi'im and all the nation, Nevi'im here means, by the way, excuse me, it means false prophets. They all grabbed him and they said, Mos Tamus, you will die. We are going to kill you, Yirmiyahu. They grabbed him. Imagine this. A mob has grabbed Yirmiyahu, and they're ready to kill him. Madua nibes of Hashem Hashem lemor. Why did you prophesy in the name of Hashem saying, Kishilo yiabais hazeh, this house will be like Shiloh. V'yoyer azos techarav mein yoshev, and this city will be destroyed without anybody living there. V'yi kahel kolamo Yirmiyahu beves Hashem, and the entire nation gathered against Yirmiyahu in the house of Hashem. This is not the first time there was a mob that was ready to kill a Navi. And a Navi was killed many, many years earlier. And we read about it on Tisha B'Av, but the blood of Zechariah the Navi. We're going to have another Zechariah mentioned later on. We're not in the parak. We're going to talk about another Zechariah later on. Hopefully we'll get there tonight. It's a different Zechariah. There were two Zechariah Nevi'im, at least two. One of them lived many years earlier, and he was killed in the Beis HaMikdash. Here you have a mob that is ready to kill Yirmiyahu. Think of how Yirmiyahu must feel. There's a mob ready to kill him. Did Hashem appear and stop them? Did a fire come down and separate between him and the mob? Did some sort of lightning bolt come out and strike down the mob? No. No. He could have been killed. Vayishmu Sari Yehuda Es Hadvarim O'Ela. And the officers, the heads of Yehuda, heard what was going on. They came from the house of the king, from the palace, to the Beis HaMikdash. Now these were tzaddikim, even though they were in the king's house, and the king was not a tzaddik, but they were. And they sat down, or they came to the gate of the opening of the gate of Hashem, the new one. The new gate. There was a new gate, which perhaps we'll discuss later why it was called a new gate, but there was a new gate there. And that's where it's called the new gate because there's something that's going to happen later on. So perhaps we'll discuss that later. But that's where they came to. Vayomra Kohanim Anavim El Hasarim Vel Kol Ha'am Lemar. So the Kohanim and the false prophets, they said to the leaders and to all the nations saying, Mishpat Moves, Lo Ish Hazeh, there is a death sentence for this man, Ki Nibo Elohir Azos, because he prophesied against this city, Kasher Shematem Be'Aznechem, like you heard it with your own ears. Vayomer Yirmiyahu Kol Hasarim. So now there's a little bit of an audience. These officers, once they showed up, so the people, the mob couldn't just kill. I mean, they could have, but they felt like they needed to explain themselves to the leadership. So Yirmiyahu then says, there's a chance for him to talk now. He says, El Kol Hasarim to all of the officers, Ve'El Kol Ha'am, and to all of the nation Lemar saying, Hashem shalachani lihina ve'al abayis hazeh ve'al ayir azos. Hashem sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city. Eis kol advarim asher shmatem, all the words that you heard. Ve'atayin now. Heitivu darcheichem u'malaleichem. Your ways and your actions, you need to improve. Ve'shimu b'kol Hashem elokeichem, and listen to the word of Hashem, your God. Ve'yinochem Hashem el hara'a shadibar aleichem, and Hashem will change his mind, will have a change of heart for the evil that he has spoken against you. Vani hinani v'yadchem. And I? Behold, I'm in your hands. Asuli katov v'chayasher b'inechem. Do to me whatever you want. Whatever you feel is right, you do to me. Ach yodo atedu, but you should know. Kim mimesim atem osi, that if you kill me, ki dom noki atem nosnim aleichem, you are putting on yourselves innocent blood. V'alayir azos, v'al yoshvea, to this city and to those who dwell in it. Because Hashem sent me in truth to speak in your ears all these words. So Yirmiyahu says, you want to kill me, but you understand, you're going to be in big trouble. Vayomru hasarim b'chol ha'am el ha'kanim v'al ha'neviim. So the sarim, the officers, and all the nation said to the Kohanim and to the false prophets. So you see that the nation, has kind of shifted. The mob, the people have really shifted sides. They're now really with the sarim, with the officers, and they're not with the Kohanim and the false prophets. And they say as follows. Ein lo ish hazeh mishpat mavis. This man does not have a death sentence. Ki b'shem Hashem elokeinu dibar eleinu. Because he spoke in the name of Hashem. Vayakum anashim mizikne ha'aretz. And men from the elders of the land got up. These are tzaddikim. They got up. Vayomer, they said, al kol kahal ha'am lemar, to all of the congregation saying. So this is, if the picture of the scene, it's chaotic. And people are grabbing the floor and speaking. So here, these elders got up and they started to speak and people were quiet. They listened. And they said as follows. Micha Hamorashti Hayaniba Bimei Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda. Micha Hamorashti, that is the Micha of Treyasar that we learned about. Micha, who we have, it's short, but we have a prophecy from him. He was prophesying in the days of Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda. Vayomer El Kolam Yehuda Lemor, and he said to all of the nation of Yehuda, saying, Kolam Hashem Tzfakos, so says Hashem, Tzion Sada Seicharesh, Tzion will be plowed over like a field, V'Yerushalayim Iyim Tiyeh, and Yerushalayim will be desolate, destroyed, V'Harabayis Levom Osyar, and the Temple Mount will be just like a open, wild place, a wild field, that's what's going to be. That's what Micha said in the days of Chizkiyahu. This is more than 100 years ago. And Micha said this. He gave a scathing nevuah, scathing prophecy against Yerushalayim. Hehameis, hemisuhu, Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda v'chol Yehuda. Did Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda and all of Yehuda, did they kill him? Did they kill Micha for his prophecy? Halo yorei es Hashem. But rather, Chizkiyahu, the king, he feared Hashem. Vayechalas p'nei Hashem. And he supplicated Hashem. Vayinachem Hashem el hara'ah shadiber aleim. And Hashem changed his mind. He had a change of heart for the evil that he had spoken against them. So there's our example. Look what happened. Micha said terrible things about the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, the Chizkiyahu's reaction was tshuva. And Hashem did not destroy. Vanachnu osim ra gedola. And we would be doing a terrible evil al nafshosenu, on our souls, if we were to kill Yirmiyahu. How could we do that? Now, even though here, Pasuk Chav verse 20, there's no indication that the speaker has changed, but Chazal tell us, here the speaker changes. The evil people now grab the floor and spoke, because it's chaotic. This one's yelling. So the Ziknei Ha'am, the elders, they spoke their piece. Then they're interrupted now by the ones who wanted to kill Yirmiyahu. And they say back, I'll tell you the other way around. There was another man who recently was saying a prophecy in the name of Hashem. Uriyahu ben Shmayahu mi Kiryas Hayarim. His name was Uriyahu ben Shmayahu from Kiryas Hayarim. And he spoke, he said a prophecy against this city. And on this land, Kechol Divrei Yirmiyahu, very similar to what Yirmiyahu just said. He said terrible things like Yirmiyahu. Vayishma HaMelech Yehoyakim. And this happened already. They're relating what happened. When he said it, the king Yehoyakim heard about it. Vechol Giborav and all of his soldiers, his army, his strong men. Vechol Asarim and all of his officers, Estvarav, they heard his words. Vayivakesh HaMelech Hamiso. He wanted to kill him for what he said. Vayishma Uriyahu. Uriyahu heard that they wanted to kill him. Vayira, he was afraid. Vayivrach, he ran away. Vayavo Mitzrayim, he ran to Egypt to run away. That Yehoyakim and his soldiers shouldn't kill him. And what happened to him? Vayishlach HaMelech Yehoyakim Anashim Mitzrayim. The king Yehoyakim sent men to Egypt. Es Elnasan ben Achbor. Who did he send? He sent Elnasan ben Achbor. Va'anashim Ito, and other men with him, El Mitzrayim to Mitzrayim. Vayotziu es Uriyahu mi Mitzrayim. They took out Uriyahu from Egypt. Vayiviyuhu el HaMelech Yehoyakim, and they brought him to the king Yehoyakim. So they brought him there, Vayakehu becharev. And they struck him down with a sword. They killed him. Vayashleches nivlaso. And they threw his corpse el kivrei b'nei ha'am to the graves of the people. Just threw it like in no ceremony. No honorable burial. They just threw the corpse down. And that was that. So the tzaddikim were saying, how can we kill Yirmiyo? Let's look at what happened 100 years ago with Micha and the king Chizkiyo when he said terrible things about Yerushalayim. Then the king didn't kill him. The king did tshuva. And then the evil people said back, yeah, well, look what happened to Uriyo. He said terrible things. And he even ran away. And the king sent messengers after him and they killed him. They brought him back and killed him, dragged him back to Eretz Yisrael and killed him. So they're going back and forth and back and forth. Should we kill Yirmiyo? Should we not kill Yirmiyo? And finally, the chapter ends. Achyad Achikam ben Shafan haisas Yirmiyahu. But the hand of Achikam ben Shafan was with Yirmiyahu. Achikam ben Shafan was an influential person. And he used his influence and his strength, Levilti Tes, Oso Viyad Ha'am La'amiso, to prevent him from being given over to the nation to be killed. So Yirmiyahu here escapes a close call. And he does what he's supposed to do, but he's almost killed for having done it. So this is sobering. It's sobering to hear that Yirmiyahu was almost killed, but it's even more sobering to know that Uriyahu was killed. For what? For doing what he was supposed to do. He said a nevuah that he was told to say, and the people rose up and killed him. It was dangerous to be a Navi. As we said many times, it's not a fun job to have to go around and wag your finger at people, which is what the Navi does. And the people have to accept it and react properly. This is a terrible, terrible blemish on the Jewish people that we killed Uriyahu Ben Shmayahu the Navi, murdered him. For what? Because he said a nevuah in the name of Hashem. Yirmiyo is nearly killed, but he is not. This leads us to a fairly famous incident that you may have heard before because of how well known it is. It is the very end of the Gemara of Maseches Makos. So when someone makes a siyum on Maseches Makos, they read this part. The minhag is, when one makes a siyum, they read the end of whatever it is they're finishing. So different Masechtos end in different ways. Some end with a very, very technical discussion. So most people don't remember that. You hear it, you listen to it, okay, whatever it is, and then, you know, you hear the siyum, and then you have good food. But with the end of Makos is a story. And because it's a story, and because Makos is a relatively short Masechta that a lot of people finish, so this story, therefore, is somewhat well known. And the story goes as follows. The Gemara tells us, when you hear this, if you know it, you're going to know it right away. The Gemara tells us that Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Akiva, four great sages, Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Akiva, were going on the road. And there's first one incident that happens, and then they came to the place where the Beis HaMikdash used to stand, where it was destroyed. And they came to Yerushalayim. It says when they came to Har HaTzofim, from there you can see the Temple Mount, they tore their clothing. When they came to Har HaBayis, they came to the Temple Mount, the destroyed Beis HaMikdash. Ro Shul Shiatzim Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, they saw a fax coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, of the Holy of Holies. Hischilu Hinbochin, they started to cry. Rabbi Akiva Mitzachik. But Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Famous story, Rabbi Akiva's laughing. Amru Lo, they said to him, Mipneimata Mitzachik, why are you laughing? Why are you crying? Amrullah, they sent him, incredulously. Malkum Shekasuv Bo, the place that it says about it, V'hazara Karev Yumas, that if a non-Kohen walks over here, he's gonna die. V'akshav shuli malku bo, and now there are foxes running around here. V'lo nivka, we shouldn't cry. Amr lahen, Rabbi Kiva said to them, l'kach ani mitzachek, that's why I'm laughing. Now listen carefully. Why is he laughing? D'chsiv, because the pasuk says in Yeshaya, in Perek Ches, chapter 8 of Yeshaya. Now Yeshaya lives in the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, way back, the same time Micha lived. That's when Yeshaya lived. Well before what we just read. The pasuk says, V'ayid li edim ne'amanim, I will bring forth witnesses to testify for me. Trustworthy witnesses. Es Uriah HaKohen, Uriah the Kohen, Ves Zechariah ben Yeverachyahu, and Zechariah ben Yeverachyahu. Who is, let's start with the second one. Who is Zechariah ben Yeverachyahu? Zechariah ben Yeverachyahu is one of the last Nevi'im who lived in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the last three Nevi'im. Zechariah, that's Zechariah ben Yeverachyahu. That's him.
We studied him,
yes, because he's at the end of Trei Asar, at the end. But he's in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's Zechariah ben Yeverachyahu. Who is Uriah HaKohen? Uriah HaKohen is our Uriahu that we just read about. So Yeshaya, living more than 100 years before what we just read in Yirmiyahu, he has a prophecy that invokes the names of two people that aren't alive yet, haven't been born yet. Uriahu, the one we just read about, who says the Nebuah is killed, and Zechariah ben Yeverachyahu, who lives even later, at the end, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, after Galus Bavel, at the very end of the 70 years of the exile of Bavel with the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's the Pasuk. These two, Hashem says, are going to be my witnesses. So, Rabbi Akiva says to his colleagues, V'chima inin Uriah etzel Zechariah. What does Uriah have to do with Zechariah? Uriah, b'mikdash rishon. Uriah was in the first Beis HaMikdash, before the destruction. That's when he was murdered. Zechariah, b'mikdash sheni. Zechariah is in the second Beis HaMikdash, with the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So what does one have to do with the other? Elatola hakos of nevuaso shel Zechariah b'nevuaso shel Uriah. That the Navi is telling us, Yeshaya is telling us, that the nevuah, the prophecy of Zechariah is dependent on the prophecy of Uriah. What is the prophecy of Uriah? It doesn't tell us. You notice that it didn't tell us. It just said in Pasuk Chaf in verse 20 that Uriah said a prophecy similar to Yirmiyahu, but doesn't say what he said. What did he say? You know what he said? He said the same thing as Micha. That's what he said. He said the same thing as Micha. What did Micha say? So if you turn back to Pasuk Yud Ches, verse 18, what did Micha say? Micha said, Tzion sada secharesh. Tzion will be plowed over like a field. Yerushalayim will be desolate. The Temple Mount will be like a wild forest. That was what Micha said. That's what Uriahu said as well, even though it doesn't tell us that. But that's why the Navi puts those two together here in our Perek, because the prophecy was the same. And that's what it says here in the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva said, what did Uriah say? He said, Lachin biglalchem, because of you, Tzion sada secharesh, the field, Tzion will be plowed over like a field. And what does it say with Zechariah? What is his nevuah? His nevuah is, Oh, yesh, vuzakeinos, berchavos, Yerushalayim. That there will come a time again when elderly men and women will sit, and they'll sit in peace and with no fear in the streets of Yerushalayim. That's the nevuah of Zechariah, which is talking about the future when Mashiach comes. Ad shalom eskayim anevuaso shel Uriah, until the prophecy of Uriah came true, I was afraid that the prophecy of Zechariah would not come true because Yeshaya put them together. He linked the two. Zechariah's nevuah can only come true after Uriah's nevuah comes true. Now that the prophecy of Uriah has come true, we see these foxes running around. The Beis HaMikdash, the Temple Mount is like a desolate, it's like a forest. There's nothing good over here. Now I know for certain that the prophecy of Zechariah will be fulfilled. B'loshon hazeh amru lo, with this language that his colleague said to him, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva, you have consoled us, Akiva, you have consoled us. And that ends Maseches Makos. That's when people are making a scene, they end over here. It's a moving story. It's a moving story which we need to explain, because there's many points that need to be explained and delved into over here. It's a beautiful story, but still, why are the two prophecies linked together? And what does he mean? I was afraid that it wouldn't come true until I saw this one come true. I was afraid it wouldn't come true. What do you mean? They're going to come. All of what comes true. What do you mean it's not going to come true? What was he afraid of? What was Rabbi Akiva afraid of? And he laughs. He laughs. He's still seeing destruction. It's still terrible. But he laughs. Because something clicked. Something clicked in Rabbi Akiva's mind. Something said to him, this is actually a good sign, not a bad sign. And he laughed. He wasn't laughing that it's a good thing the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Of course it's terrible the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. But there's something that clicked over here for Rabbi Akiva. And they are consoled. Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu, as the Gemara ends off. So there is much to discuss about this story. But unfortunately, it is 9 o'clock. And we started, we had to start late today. We started late for a good reason, because we were saying Tehillim for Eretz Yisrael, that we hope that they will have an achama, that it should go well for them, that everybody should be safe, and there should be no more tsaras. And that's why we delayed. And Mirtzah Hashem, next week, when we lead off with this story again, we'll review it quickly, and then we will, Mirtzah Hashem, explain it, and hopefully we'll end up with a very, very important insight into this story, and also for us, as we are seeing things that are bad in Eretz Yisrael, things that are good in Eretz Yisrael, and a perspective for how to look at them, which we will learn from Rabbi Akiva, which ultimately comes back to our pasuk here in Yirmiyahu. So that'll be Mirtzah Hashem for next week. Everybody should have a wonderful Yontif. It's a happy time, because it's we just finished Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and we are entering into a happy time of Shavuos. Everybody should have a wonderful Yontif, and Mirtzah Hashem, we will meet again next week.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.